There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Thursday. Glad to have you here. Checking text line here. Larry, good point. So, good point. Larry said pipelines are heavily regulated by federal PHMSA. Here come the acronyms. I know Larry knows these. I just don't. PHMSA. I know DOT, PSC, Public Service Commission, several others. So, he said his job is compliance. For these agencies. So, okay, maybe, and you make a good point, Larry. Maybe that's the difference here. If you're going to call, like, so maybe people are calling on the federal government to do something about the hacking of the Colonial Pipeline. And I guess if you start doing it for one, where do you say, you know, because, hey, if my company gets hacked, I make whatever widgets out there, then I want help. But I guess, Larry, if there is that federal oversight, maybe, like you're pointing out, that brings it in. I just wonder where you say no, right? It's a big deal. I get it. I run a vehicle that runs gasoline as well. I get it. But it's just, like, if you say, okay, we're going to bring the full force of government in to assist Colonial, then is that true for, you know, electric utilities? All these things that could be under, you know, on the hit list for a hacking group. And in my conversation yesterday with my buddy Abe Harper from Harper Technologies, the thing is, he's talking about this dark side as a company more than, I mean, you picture they're clocking in at the quarry there, you know, going into work. Hey Bob, hey Steve, how are we going to hack today? It's like the product is called Dark Side. The company's called Darkside, so good marketing there. And they are leasing. This is the stuff, the regular part of this that was so weird to hear yesterday, that they have this ransomware, and then so they go out to wherever bad entities meet, dark web or wherever, you know, digital alley out there, and they say, okay, we need to lease your ransomware to do this, that, or the other. And so Darkside seems to be getting more off royalties than initial, because they'll give them a discount or give it to them free, and they get a cut of the action once they get some sort of ransom for the information or letting a system go back online. This has happened through its cities around the country, different companies around the country, and it looks like more of the same, where it goes from, not saying there won't be state-sponsored terrorists and a Russian hacking group here and a Chinese hacking group here, because we've seen that. That's going on plenty. But what if big hacking comes up and you have, you know, just people that are in the business. Oh, this business model is we hack and we get money for a cut from ransomware. It's just something to look into. We'll talk about this going forward a lot more in the future, unfortunately. Let's talk about something that's a little lighter, a little more fun. Okay, a lot more fun. It was 2 years ago. I was excited to talk about the Mobile Comedy Festival coming to town and what was happening with that. And then last year, we got coronaed on this, but it's back. And Mobile's Comedy Festival is coming up in, well, I'll ask Compton Smith. It's coming up in August.
August, yeah.
Good to see you, man. Good to get you back.
Good to be back. Thanks for having me.
So where did comedy go during Corona?
Mostly online, yeah. But not exclusively online. There's There's a good contingent that is back in clubs, but interestingly enough, the Southeast kind of became a hotspot because a lot of people couldn't perform outdoors, and because of the different regulations in different states, Florida's approach allowed them to maintain a lot of performances, and there were a lot of comics eyeing the Southeast because we had a little more leeway than a lot of other places. So
it's an interesting, because we're having a conversation about comedy, and we'll get to the festival, and some, but it's also kind of a political discussion because some of the places that were so well known that were dense, you know, vertically dense with comics, were places that were shut down. You look at New York or California, and I mean, there was just clubs shut down, nobody performing, and in a way, the market found a way. The comics found a way to get in front of people.
Yeah, we always do somehow, some way. Even if it's standing on a street corner with a PA, we'll find a way.
Right,
because we love attention. but the YouTube became a bastion for a lot of comics. We saw a lot of comics come out of that swinging and did a really great job keeping people entertained, which is what we really care about, getting laughs. And people had to navigate the Zoom world, which was very challenging for comics.
Right,
but comedy finds a way. I think we all need a little levity. So
need a lot of levity.
Finds a way.
Yeah, we need a lot of levity. And it is interesting, and we'll probably talk more about that. States that benefited, you said the Southeast and Florida, I think Texas. Mm-hmm. Some people have moved to Texas on that front. Mm-hmm. But this is interesting to me. So you said, you know, YouTube, and then you said Zoom. Mm-hmm. So let's walk through both of those. So sure. if I'm doing a bit, and it's Zoom, and somehow I've got 50 people out there, they're on the other end, so I can hear. I can hear laugh. I can hear booze. I can hear response. Uh-huh. That's one thing. It's a kind of a half-arse version of being in front of people live. But you do something in YouTube, something like that. Mm-hmm. That's like this gig. Mm-hmm. You find out later, somebody said, man, when you did that was so funny, or I really enjoyed that interview. But you don't find out right away. I guess talk radio to some degree, because you have interaction on text line and phone lines. But that's got to be a weird thing for a comic to do stuff. Mm-hmm. And you may know you're killing, but you don't have any kind of... There's nothing back.
Yeah. The philosophy of comedy, what comedy really is, there are lots of opinions on it. But one of the analogies that I like is that we are musicians and the audience is our instrument. And if you think about comedy in those terms, then it makes it very easy to understand how Zoom, where there's an audience present, but you can't hear them, it then becomes really difficult to play that instrument. It's like you're trying to, was it Mozart that was deaf?
Yeah.
Or Bach, one of the two. Trying to compose something with no feedback can be really challenging. So what
would you not see people
versions.
On a Zoom? Like I'm thinking about the stupid Zoom calls we had to do, right, for work, because I'd say yada yada yada, and somebody else pop up and say blah 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 blah, and you could see the people in the Hollywood Squares kind of set up. Is that how it was done for stand up? Or
yeah, you could. Some of them were done that way, so you could see the audience. But even then, it's not the same kind of feedback.
Right.
It's a small percentage of what you're used to getting in the room with somebody. On YouTube, if you're recording something and then putting it up after the fact, there's no feedback. And
so it's weird, huh?
Yeah, Andrew Schultz really made the benchmark for that. I think he had the YouTube channel that took off the most. And if you look at the format
He's
of
hilarious.
His material, yeah, he is. He's really good. But it's all really tight. It's all really quick paced.
It's produced. Can I use that word?
I mean,
you know, not saying that other comedy people don't realize how often a comic goes through that set and refines it and refines it and refines it. Mm-hmm. But Andrew Schultz stuff that I'll watch, I mean, it's got graphics coming in here and pictures and stops and special effect, so much, not CGI, but an effect there. It was like very glossy.
Yeah, and he's very upfront about it. He says they found the person doing it the best on the web, which was John Oliver, doing Last Week Tonight, I think is the name of Oliver's show. And he had the best format, he had the best following, and they said, well, we're going to take that and we're going to put our spin on it and do it a little bit better.
Okay.
And that's pretty much what they ended up with. And that's what YouTube responds to, is really fast-paced material. And it also works for Zoom. When you don't get that feedback, you kind of have to just rely on your own energy to push through. So it was a big learning curve for all of us, because it's not stand-up comedy. It's comedy, but it is something else. It is a skit, or it is a show, or it is like a sketch that's pre-planned and recorded.
Right.
It's not stand-up. It's close, but it's not the same.
Okay. So, and you're getting that, I guess you get that response when you go back on you know, if somebody posts a YouTube video, you'll go back on there and see how many times somebody's watched it, how many likes you got.
Yeah.
But it's a surrogate for that. People laughing and snorting and laughing when you say something.
There's nothing that compares to a room full of people. There isn't. You put enough people in a room and it's magic.
So this new thing, whether it's done by Schultz or whomever, is something new. It's its own thing. It's not coming in as a replacement for that live show.
No. It was a stand-in for a circumstance that we were forced into. But I don't think there's anything that can replace a live stand-up comedy show.
Does it have any legs going forward? In other words, let's say that you and I wave the wand, everything's back to complete normal, everything. So stand-up's back where it should be. Does that lane that Schultz is in and all that, does that still exist, or does that kind of wither and then go back somewhere?
YouTube is definitely viable. People that are putting together...
Make a note here.
YouTube putting together sketches and doing things that are YouTube kinds of format, that'll be around for a long time. I think people are learning and that's growing. The Zoom conference call style comedy shows, that won't be around long. That was out of necessity only. It was not a first choice.
Well, let's talk about people and this migration of comedy to the Southeast.
Yeah.
And, you know, point out Texas and a few other places. So people were getting more comedy shows than they would have gotten if it wasn't for coronavirus?
Not quite to that extent.
They're getting more than somebody in a California or New York.
For sure. The shows started coming back kind of slowly, but... even when I got back into town in November, October, November last year, things were starting to come back. And Zeke Buchholz and the guys down at the Music Box had started putting on open mics and weekly shows. So it was starting to make a comeback then. But in California, they're still shut down. I don't think they're doing shows at all there. And it's destroyed a lot of comedy clubs. I mean, it got to the point where comics were abandoning California and New York, and now so are the businesses. As far as comedy goes, there have been several notable comedy facilities that have just up and moved.
Yeah, and they can't, you know, not only can the comics not ply their craft, all the people that depend on them, servers and club owners and all that, they can't make money. And then you saw some people like Chappelle, you know, take it and say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out in the field.
Yeah, the farm.
And do that. Yeah, and go do that. That's great when you're Dave Chappelle.
Right.
Because you can go anywhere and say, I'm going to go tell some jokes, and as many of us as you'll let in will show up in that field and watch it.
Right.
But if you're new person, exactly. If you're going to go out and say, "Hey, I'm going to stand out in front of the battleship and tell jokes tonight at 6 o'clock,"
nobody cares.
right. So I mean, if you're at the top of the craft, you could probably call your shot and say your place. Yeah. But if you're not, it has to leave like a kind of a year lost for some comics, new comics out there.
Oh, for sure.
Or unknown.
Yeah, we all lost time because anytime you're not practicing and getting better, you know, stagnation in comedy is, you might as well be going backwards because it's a learning process and nobody gets to be done learning, unfortunately. I mean, the greats do. Once you're 30 years in, you know what you're doing. But at my level, being a less than 5-year-old comic, I need all the opportunity I can get on stage to get better. Yeah,
kindergarten comic.
Yeah, I'm barely learning how to walk. I've been crawling for a long time.
What is the value of that? We talk about the interaction with the audience, obviously. So you can hone and say, that's good, that's bad, that's working, that's not working, I need to develop that more, versus bouncing off your buddies and other comics. Like, because, you know, you're talking about open night, mic nights opening up and this and that. Do you ever go in front of just other comics and do your material, or do you hold that just for an audience?
I don't. I think it's bad form to do bits off stage.
Okay.
Because as a philosopher, I want to talk to people. So if we're standing outside and somebody recites a bit to me that they're going to go on stage and do in 5 minutes, I get very annoyed at that. Practicing in front of other comics is not, I mean, it's good to have people that you write with.
Okay.
But I'm not the guy to come tell your bits to off stage. Just because
you think that's true, not just outside, you just comics in general, that they don't do that.
No, most comics won't do that unless they bring it up, unless they say, hey, can I get your opinion on something? Or, hey, you know, I was thinking about doing this. It's pretty rare that comics, comics try and rehearse off stage, because the ultimate decision comes down to the audience. Trying to make a room full of comics laugh is way harder than making an audience laugh.
It's a tough measure. All right, we're coming right back. More with Compton Smith. We're talking about the Mobile Comedy Festival coming up. Plus, he points out, hey, we may be the beneficiary of states that are shut down for in-person comedy. So who might be coming to our area this summer? We'll talk about that as well when we return. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, remember, streaming live, fmtalk1065.com. Also check us out, Instagram, Twitter, the fantastic Facebook page as well. Check them all out. They're all FM Talk 106.5. So good, we got the branding right. And guest in studio, Compton Smith, and we're talking about the Mobile Comedy. So this is, and I got to ask this question too, because this is always fun to see. It's the first annual now, or second, like, if you had it, the first one, which, because I think they always told me you can't call it first annual. So you had the first Mobile Comedy Festival. Uh-huh. Last year was a punt. Uh-huh. So this is the
I like to call it the should have been third, but it's technically the second annual.
Okay.
Due to pandemic, Mobile Comedy Festival.
It's tough to get on a T-shirt. tell folks, like, if they missed the first one, what happened? How does this work? Who's on stage? How does it all happen?
So it's the second full weekend, August, which is the week of the 9th through the 15th. And that's the same week in August it was last year. And the way it went last year was we had a really small festival. We were trying to do something that was good for the comics. Mm-hmm. So we set it up to where instead of paying for a bunch of big headliners, we wanted to make sure that the comics were taken care of. Mm-hmm. So we opened it up. We asked all the comics that wanted to participate to send us information. And that was pretty much just to make sure everybody, we weren't putting any of the comics in a bad spot, because we set it up to be a competition. So mm-hmm. we had judges every night, and we had a couple of early rounds, some semifinals and some finals over the three nights. And we ended up giving Joe Carlisle from Hattiesburg, Mississippi, $500 for winning the contest, which was amazing. We had a couple hundred people came out over the course of the three nights to support it. And we had comics all from all over the region. I think we had 30 plus comics that came out last year.
It was great. That's as a sample of the comedy universe mm-hmm. in our neighborhood, Southwest Alabama, Southeast Mississippi, Northwest Florida. I don't know kind of how broad it is. Is that a good sampling? Is that
That's a lot.
Okay, because I don't know. Yeah, I don't know to say how many active comics are there.
There are not many. There are.
Because they moved away. Like, if they get to a certain level, they move away, or there's just not been the atmosphere for it? I mean, like, why?
There's a little bit of moved away, but it is mostly we just have a small comedy scene. Comics are pretty rare to begin with. Mm-hmm. There aren't a ton of them around. And in places that don't have very large comedy scenes, there are less comics because it's harder to become a comic when you don't have the infrastructure of a big city to practice regularly. So it takes a lot more dedication to be a comic in a small scene. And because of that, there are smaller groups of people that advance and reach the upper echelons just because there's a smaller pool.
Okay, so you could take the same bunch of people. Okay, we're going to take 100,000 people that all have, you know, same demographics or whatever. Mm-hmm. Put them in a city where there's a vibrant scene already. Mm-hmm. Out of that, you cultivate more comics, not because there's any difference in talent than that other 100,000, but there's
opportunity.
There's a practice field.
Yep. Yep, comes down to opportunity. I mean, out of 100,000 people, you're only going to get 10 comics. And there'll be plenty of other people that want to participate in the comedy scene. Mm-hmm. But there's a difference in any comedy scene between comedy hobbyists and comics, like professional comics. Because some comics just want to be local. And some comics enjoy being part of the scene without traveling and they're not trying to make it big. They're trying to have fun,
yeah.
Which is perfectly fine. And then there's another group of comics that are in it to see how far they can make it.
Right.
You know, we all have dreams of making
sure.
it big, but some of us know we won't. Like, there may be some place that I can go that's bigger than where I am now, but Netflix special, maybe 20 or 30 years, yeah. We'll talk about it, but it's kind of a pipe dream.
But I want to turn that around, and we'll go to news break here and come back and talk more about it. But it seems like you said Netflix, which got me thinking about YouTube and Netflix and all these different places. There are more places to go with your comedy now than before.
Yeah, for sure.
Even if you live in Anywhereville, USA.
Yeah.
All right, coming right back, more of this conversation. Get your questions as well. Our guest, Compton Smith, Mobile Comedy Festival coming up in August. We'll talk more about that and some shows coming to our area this summer, even before the comedy festival.
Tonight?
Yeah. Oh, tonight we got a show. Wait, just wait.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Continuing conversation on air and off air going on about comedy. Compton Smith, our guest, and we do need to set up. First of all, you got a show tonight. Who's coming? What's going on tonight?
We do. John Carden is coming from Phoenix, Arizona. Works in all the comedy clubs out there. Has worked with Big Jay Oakerson and a long list
that
of
guy
incredible
right.
comics. I know, right? And he's going to be at the Electric Piano Parlor tonight with myself and... And Craig Williams, who's a local comic, is going to come in and open up for us. We're doing that show twice a month now at the Electric Piano Parlor, once on Thursday, once on a Saturday. We've got J.F. Harris coming. He's one of Bill Burr's. He's recording a special for Bill Burr's The Ringers coming up soon. So he's going to be at the Electric Piano Parlor next Sunday. We've got Sean Patton coming to the Alabama Music Box.
Gulf Coast boy, New Orleans.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to be June 20th on Sunday at the Alabama Music Box. So there's a lot of great comedy going on. You know, there's Azalea City Comedy is the production company that I run with some help from some other local comics. And that kind of falls under the umbrella of the Mobile City Comedy Festival. And Zeke Buchholz is one of the other founders of the Mobile Comedy Festival. And he's handling all the stuff that's done at the Music Box, which is great. So we're kind of hitting it from both angles. We've got the Music Box doing the open mics every Thursday night, which tonight is actually going to be at the Merry Widow because we've got a great band is going to be at the Music Box whose name I can't remember, unfortunately.
They must be fantastic then.
Yeah, yeah. I'm told they're fabulous. But either way, we're going to do the Electric Piano Parlor early. We set this show up with the Electric Piano Parlor specifically to cater to the parts of the demographic in Mobile that we missed the first time around.
Yeah, and that's whom?
People that have real lives and can't stay out till midnight.
Yes. So I mean, we had this conversation on the phone the other day. I said, good for you, because this is like, I love, if y'all haven't figured that out over a decade plus of this show, that I love stand-up comedy. But I I always worked the morning show for the longest time, 10, 11 years. And I still got to get up real early, get kids. I want to go to shows, but I'm like, I like to, but I can't be getting home at 1 a.m. right. and being functional the next day. So you right. get that.
Yeah. And so we set this show up to have 6:30 doors, which means we open up the bar. Everybody comes in and the piano parlor is amazing. They open the doors early for us to accommodate us, which is great to have that kind of support in a venue. The show starts at 7 o'clock promptly, usually runs about an hour and a half. Never much more than that because we all have short attention spans.
Huh?
And so we're out of there by 8:30, 9 o'clock at the latest.
That makes me happy, man, that y'all are doing that. That is, I really think there's a lot of us, the older age of the demographic or, you know, with kids in the house and stuff, that makes a big deal.
Yeah, well, and we tried to hit that time right after. Come downtown, have a nice dinner, check out one of the great restaurants, and then come see us before you have to head home for the night. And if you are a night owl, then come down to the Merry Widow. The open mic starts at 8, if I'm not mistaken. And we party all night long after that. So
y'all do that party.
Do
yeah, I'll hear about that the next day. A lot of texts coming in here, Compton. I want to, but there's a few of them here on the same kind of subject. This is a good one. I'm just going to kind of mash these together here. First one said, you can't be funny anymore. The world is too woke. And there's several people saying, yeah, how about comedy and woke and cancel culture? Mm-hmm. So let's do that. Because this show is kind of a political show. But I like, in the world of comedy, how do you navigate that where you're just seconds away from offending somebody about something you didn't even know was offensive?
Yeah, well, the first thing is you got to have good intentions. If from a comic standpoint, if my goal is to get you to laugh, then there's a little bit of forgiveness in that already. Because I'm not trying to be malice. Nobody gets on stage with the intention of hurting someone.
Right.
The goal is always to make you laugh. Now, if in that process, somebody steps over what somebody else believes is an imaginary line, unfortunately, they have that right. You know, they get to speak their opinion, and now those opinions go further than they used to because of social media. But that does not curtail what comics do. Like when it comes to cancel culture, you can't really cancel somebody. There can be repercussions for some bad behavior, but somebody has to cancel themselves. So there are a couple of different schools of thought on that. That, like, if we take Louis C.K. as an example,
yeah,
he was technically canceled. He lost a ton of money. And then I saw him at a sold-out show here in Mobile,
Alabama. I was there, too.
Yeah.
And he opened up by saying, well, the good thing about that cancel culture is I'm here doing a show for you in Mobile.
Yeah. So there can definitely, you know, a comic's career can take a hit because of a mistake, but I don't think anybody's arguing that we shouldn't be held accountable to some degree for, you know, be responsible for what we do. And we should be responsible, but that doesn't mean that anybody's out there to burn the barn down.
Yeah, but there's a difference. Okay, at least in my mind. So, and I can get into the nuance of I'm a person of unpopular opinions, and I could defend what Louis C.K. did as something that shouldn't have had him canceled. But I'm talking about in a bit.
Yeah.
You had a bit. You did a thing about this, or you did a thing about this group or this person or something like that. And then people say, I'm never watching them again. I mean, I get told 10 times a week, I'm never listening to you again. And then the next week they're telling me, oh, I'm never listening to you again.
Yeah.
But how much of that cuts into the pocket? Does it mean you don't have a sold-out show, or is it more like you don't have a TV show or something like that?
Well, if you look on the big, big scale, the price that some comics have paid, like Louis losing his show, and I think he makes a joke about losing like $38 million or something like that, that's a big deal for someone on that level. But for someone on my level, having somebody be mad at me is, that's good PR, as long as I don't... As right. long as I haven't really screwed the pooch, then it's going to come out as good PR. But like I was saying about people canceling themselves with the Louis thing, it really depends on how that person plans on coming back and what happens after that. So I don't think me standing on stage in the middle of a bit is too worried about crossing a line. But if I cross a line, the audience is going to tell me very quickly.
Right.
So I think the people that get the worst of the quote-unquote cancel culture are the people who aren't paying attention to the audience. Because if you learn your lesson and you make the joke funny, and when you come back, then everybody's going to be like, oh, well, that's better now. It's funny.
Right.
As opposed to not being funny the first time. But if you get on stage and keep just banging away at the same unfunny stuff, then eventually people are going to say, well, that's not comedy. You're just being a bad person. Like,
what does a joke killing fix everything? In other words, you have same subject, whatever it is. There's something you shouldn't, a third rail subject you shouldn't touch. And you write a joke or I write a joke, we both perform it. One, it says the same mean thing, one is just like blow coke out your nose funny. One's an eh. Does it change the amount of anger about what you said?
For sure. For sure. You can say...
Same thing.
Yeah, I think on stage, the rule pretty much is you can say anything as long as it's funny. And the audience gets to decide what's funny. Not the comics and not anybody else. But if it kills and it gets a laugh, because then the result is this one person is offended. Well, you just heard 99% of everybody here laugh.
Yeah.
So obviously it's funny. Now, if you happen to, you know, there's circumstances and exceptions for everything, but but the audience gets to decide. And if the audience agrees that it's funny, that's how it's going to usually land out.
But, you know, I think about that for audiences. And let's go, you know, we're talking about the local comedy scene. That's one scene. But if you're a traveling comic, right, and audiences are different.
Yeah.
Right. And this audience, this was great. This audience was eating it up, but it got recorded for YouTube or whatever, and it gets put up. Mm-hmm. Now, instead of having the audience of 50 or 60 in that club or whatever, you have a million couple people. Now, it's not one person out of 99 offended. It's 100,000 out of that. That's what I see happen sometimes. And like, you're not reading the room. He or she was doing that bit for those people right there, and they were loving it.
Yeah.
You weren't there, and now, but now you're just, I'm going to cancel, you know, don't go to whatever place or buy whatever thing.
Yeah, and please, if you have access to 100,000 followers, come try to cancel me. Yeah. I dare you.
Right.
Because you are not going to do anything but help.
Yes. Let's talk about the, you're talking about the scene here and the comedy festival coming up. What about somebody who thinks they want to give it a shot? Okay,
like, come to the open mic.
Okay, yeah. Is that the first step? Come to open mic?
Yeah, come to the open mic at the Music Box, or tonight at the Merry Widow if you want to get started tonight, and just get on stage. The biggest hurdle is getting behind a microphone and saying words. It's not even being funny. It's just getting on stage and saying words through a microphone. That's always the first step. And people get worried about it, and they let it hold them up. And my advice has always been, we all have a handful of stories that make up who we are,
yes,
that we tell on a regular basis, that we know every detail to. Just get on stage and tell that story. Doesn't have to be funny. Just get on stage, say something that you're familiar with, and once that's under your belt, then you can go about the process of repetition and learning all the things that go along with that practice.
So, I mean, you're saying that's more important than practicing in front of a mirror or something. Yeah, coming in and telling, you know, don't worry that you don't have, like, oh, you're in front of the mirror and this is not as funny as something you saw Compton do, or you saw, you know, Rogan do. This is just your thing. Come tell the story.
Yeah, just come tell the story. Because until you're on stage, and like I said earlier, if the audience is the instrument that we play, you can stand in front of your mirror all you want to, but you have no experience playing that instrument. So until you get that in front of a crowd, you never know what's going to happen. Because you can have a killer joke in front of the mirror, and you take it in front of a room, and it just blah. Just dies right then and there. And that happens all the time. That's how we learn if stuff's funny or not. And that's what open mic's for. So it's not about coming out being the best comic. It's about coming out, getting your feet wet, and getting started on a process that takes a very long time to get to be a proficient comic.
We're going to talk about that more when we come back. And I think tell stories. I mean, that's all Jerry Clower did back then. He just told a story.
Yeah, he was good at it, too.
The best, wasn't he? Absolutely. Coming right back, our guest Compton Smith. We'll talk more about the events coming up this summer. And at the end of the summer, or August, the Mobile Comedy Festival. More when we get back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 150 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Thursday. Guest Compton Smith. So, Mobile Comedy Festival coming up, and you said Azalea City
Comedy.
So look those both up on Facebook.
We're on Facebook for sure, yeah.
You on any other, just Facebook?
Facebook is the most reliable right now. The rest of the web resources are coming together slowly, but Facebook is the most up-to-date.
And do you update, like, the show tonight and these?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Azalea City Comedy has the show for tonight, but you'll see the same things on Azalea City Comedy and Mobile Comedy Festival.
Okay.
The only reason that we have to is because we want to make sure that everybody understands how special Mobile Comedy Festival is. We just don't want to wear out that name. We want it to be special. But Mobile Comedy Festival is basically a presenter of all the comedy that myself and Zeke and Toulouse are involved in. We just don't want that to be the detraction from what the comedy festival is going to be in August.
I think you've already done that.
Great.
So, and you mentioned this. So, and I'm looking at text, people that are aspiring here, first thing to do, come out, do an open mic.
Yeah, yeah.
What about people that maybe they really hit it there? They want to try to get in this contest coming up in August. Is it open, or is it by invitation only, or what's the deal?
It is, the competition portion is entirely open. There are some book shows that are invitation only, but the way to get into all of that, if you go to the Facebook page, like I said, Mobile Comedy Festival, you'll see pinned to the top of the page, we have the submission requirements, which again, this is really just to make sure we're not putting people in a bad spot, to make sure the people that are getting on stage are qualified.
Okay.
Because we're not going to take somebody's money for their application.
If they don't, yeah.
If they're not.
They don't have a chance.
Yeah, that's not the right way to do things, in my opinion. So we set it up, so you send a video in. We make sure that you're a good fit for the thing. Anybody that's got more than a year under their belt, or just really wants to, is more than welcome to. We're not turning people away for any real reason, but like I said, we don't want to put anybody in a bad spot. But yeah, send your application, send your video to mobilecomedyfestival@gmail.com, and we will get you into the process. And if you don't want to participate in the competition portion, we've got some incredible shows during that week. Todd Barry is going to be here for one of the nights. He's our big headliner during the week. And we've got a few other shows. We're bringing a show in from Lafayette called Stone vs. Sober vs. Drunk, which is a really good time. Get a couple of comics up on stage and pump them full of chemicals and see which one's funnier. So that's going to
be
like
a science experiment and a comedy show.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've got, I think, Sean Finnerty, who's been on Conan and all the late night shows. He's going to be in town doing the Electric Piano Parlor show on that Thursday. And we always do a founders show where myself and Zeke and Toulouse get on stage and do our longer sets. That's usually earlier in the week. There's a meet and greet with Joe Page's show over at the Elks facility. I don't remember the address for that one. But it's all right there on the Facebook page, and you're welcome to message me through Facebook, Compton Smith, or you're welcome to message Mobile Comedy Festival or Azalea City Comedy with any questions that you have. We'd gladly point you in the right direction. And if you're interested in trying comedy, please come out. We're looking to grow the family. So we welcome anybody that's enthusiastic about comedy to come check it out. Even if you just want to come hang out and see how things are made. It takes a lot of blunders sometimes to get to a good laugh, and sometimes it can be amusing watching that process.
Are you laughing at, not with?
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of that.
And I'll tell you what, I'm going to run through a couple questions here, but we're going to run out of time. This one I do want to ask. So Ben says, did Trump hurt comedy because so many comedians/late-night hosts became one-trick ponies and just railed on him and turned off a lot of people? Do you think there was...
I think
making president jokes is kind of part of the American comedy scene, right?
Yeah, and we're always going to make fun of whatever is popular. That's what comedy does. Whatever's popular, we're going to take shots at. And honestly, I think Trump did less for comedy than any president ever, because when someone's behavior is a bigger joke than any punchline you can write, it's hard.
Because you're trying, right, in comedy, you're trying to make it bigger than it really is, right? You're trying to give an inflated version of something.
Yeah. Or, make it ridiculous. Make it make a turn. Mm-hmm. But when the headline is a setup and a punchline.
Right.
It's like, well, how do you make that funnier?
Right.
But, again, not the best. I'm only a 3.5-year-old comic. So there are plenty of comics out there that it did work well for and it did benefit. But a lot of those people would have benefited no matter who's in office, because we're going to make fun of what's popular.
Yeah, but the weird thing is watching like an SNL.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is just and I don't watch it a bunch now because it's on too late, and I don't get around to going and watching it on Hulu or whatever. But when I do, my politics aside, I like comedy. Where I mean, if it gores my ox, if it's funny, it's still funny.
Well, SNL's struggling.
Huh? SNL's struggling. It's horrible. You're in the game.
I don't even watch it anymore.
It's bad. I don't either. Yeah.
I watched the Weekend Update. That's it.
Yes, and they worry so much on the bits. Like when I've seen the things, I'm like, oh my gosh, you could have turned this really, really funny. But it seems like this woke thing we were talking about earlier, I don't know if it's just a talent's not good or is it talent's there and it's constrained itself to not hurt anybody's feelings or something, doesn't seem, or not hurt anybody from the center to the left's feelings. Yeah. You know, that they can't see the jokes.
Like I said, I don't watch it enough to know exactly what the conundrum is, but I know SNL goes through phases, and I know that it hasn't been as popular lately. I've seen them come up with some stuff that's just mediocre.
Yeah.
But as someone who's not a real big fan of SNL, I can't say too much about it other than I know it's not good enough to get my attention at the moment.
That's what they're supposed to do, is get our attention. They're not. Man, I appreciate our conversation today.
Me you're
gonna
too.
Come back
Thank you.
You're going to come back this summer, talk more about this?
As often as you'll have me, Sean.
All right, that's good. There he is. Compton Smith, thank you very much.
Thank you for
show
having
tonight,
me.
And then going through the summer, we're going to make you aware of these shows, and they're early, so... elderly folks like myself can go enjoy them and laugh and laugh and laugh. All right. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. I will talk to y'all tomorrow. Remember, streaming live, fmtalk1065.com. 54 hours a week of live local programming coming from this very studio. You can grab the podcast through our website, tune in, radio. You can go to iTunes, Stitcher, any of those platforms. Go grab them, and we'll talk to you soon.